Amen, brother.
Thank you.
Good to have you home.
Thank you. It is good to be home. I appreciate this church so much for standing behind us, for counsel of pastor, and just knowing that you all are praying for us. And I tell you, you know, a lot of times missionaries talk about pray for us. That's all we need. Well, you know, God supplies our finances, and He has done that. But we need your prayers. I tell you, a missionary goes through times sometimes, and there's nobody there but you and your wife, and you get tired of that sometimes, you know, and you do. You get tired of each other sometimes, but that's who you that's who you counsel with. That's who you plan with. That's who you and so we've got a good plan, I think, when we return, and we've got some things that we want to do, and Bonnie's my right hand man. Bonnie's my right-hand person, but it's a blessing knowing you all are holding the rope, and you all are helping us, even though we're over there, we're a part of this body, and so it's hard for me sometimes, you know, when I'm preaching there, not to keep referring back to my church, I try to, you know, because I'm trying to establish that work, so praise the Lord. We're, like Pastor said, we're just here for a few weeks, and tonight is Lindsay and Matt's last night here, and okay.
I meant to do that. I got with this business meeting. Matt and Lindsay. Matt finished third in his class at the academy, and because he finished third, that means he got to check the third slot. And there's only, you know, you take what you get when you're down on the bottom. And so he got to choose, and they're going to be going to Memphis. So they'll be 5 hours away. And I told him, I said, you have to learn to say Memphis, because that's how they say it over there. But they'll be there. And if you know anything about Memphis Airport and the radar, that's FedEx flies there every night, like lots of planes. So congratulations on that. I meant to say that. And we'll be praying for you, but we expect you back here just as soon as you can get back. All these King girls are leaving. They say they'll come back. They won't come back.
And so there was a few things we needed to take care of. Alyssa moving into the old farmhouse. And so some things we had to take care of. We felt like it'd be a good time for us to come back. So I needed a break. My wife needed a break. And the Lord just worked that out. Cheap airline tickets. And so we're glad to be here. And, you know, it's been a year and a half since we've been back. And the travel, I tell you, the Shropes and Meredith would tell you that traveling nowadays is a lot different than it has been. But coming from Albania, I was checked three times. Take your shoes off, take your belt off, take everything, not everything off, but take, you know, take all your metal out of pockets and everything. And when you come out of Albania, even though they check you there, when you go to Austria, which that's where our connecting flight was, they checked us again. And then I had the special privilege of being randomly selected to get checked again. And so before I boarded the plane there to Austria, they ran me through it again. Take your shoes off, take everything off. And so I did that, and I got through the line. They said, stop. Open your palms. Anybody ever had this happen? They take a swab, wipe your hands, wipe your belt, wipe your pockets, your socks. And they stick it in a machine just to see if you have any residue of bombs or whatever. Well, when I did that, the alarm went off. And it was like in old Westerns when the guy goes into the establishment and opens the doors and the music stops and everybody looks at the stranger. And that's what they all did. They looked at me. And I felt guilty, totally. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I knew I shouldn't have done that. And then I think, I didn't do anything. Wait a minute. But I felt guilty, and they all thought I was guilty. But then they did another swab, stuck in a different machine, and I was okay. So I was glad of that. But it's different. I remember that one time I was with Brother Knutson. I had lost a lot of weight, and we had to take our belt off. And I was holding my pants up. And they said, go into this machine. And said, okay, put your hands up like this. We're going to scan you. I said, listen, I can't really. Can I do? No, sir. Put your hands up. I looked like a gangster guy by the time I got out of there. I was really embarrassed about that. But So traveling is a lot different, but we're glad to be back. We're glad to be back even for a short time. The work is going, I wish it was going better. And just like Brother Meredith said, you always wish that, I'm sure. And I'm not a numbers nut, but, you know, numbers represent souls too. And I would like to see things go better. Last year, we were gaining momentum both in the work of Laura, the city of about 150,000, and the city of Ordicum, which is, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 people. And we probably average 10 to 15 in Valora, 10 to 12 maybe in Ordicum. But it's a good core group. It's a good core group. We saw people get saved. We've seen maybe close to 20 people put their trust in the Lord. I'd like to see more than that. But, you know, I don't say 1, 2, 3, pray after me either. I try to lay a foundation. I try to teach them. And so it's a blessing to have those, that core group. And we have my translator who hopefully is watching tonight, Chris John, translates for me on Sunday mornings. But on Wednesdays, many times I try to teach in the Albanian language, and they kind of help me. It's a hard, hard language for us. I only know redneck, and this is my other language. Bonnie knows a little more. She studied French and Japanese and stuff, so she's picking it up a little more, and she helps me when I let her with the language a little bit. But what a blessing it is to have people that can help us and that God has connected us with. All of Christian's family are saved, and that's a blessing. And again, there's in the work in Ordicum is mostly older people, but it was a privilege to baptize 6 of them last summer. And the first one that was baptized was an old communist submarine commander. He's in his 70s, and he was the first one. What a blessing that was. Right after that, with the two churches got together from Valora and Ordicum, we had a big feast of goat. If you've never eaten goat, it's really not too bad. It's like through a skewer through the whole thing, then it turns on over coals. And I thought it was lamb at first, and I thought, oh, lamb. I'm not big on lamb, but I've eaten it. But it was goat, and it was very, very good. So we had a blessed time together during that time. Things have really changed over there. When we first went there in 95 to 97 in the city of Laura, people were very, very open. But what 20 years can do to people's hearts. They're more worldly minded, you know, money, money, money. I've got to have this. I've got to have that, as we are. The Jehovah's Witnesses have really devastated handing out tracts and talking to people because they're very afraid that you are a Jehovah's Witness. And one of the things we have to say, Nukyam Deshmetar et Jehovah. So I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. And they say, oh, okay, good. I'll read this. And so it's a hard thing. They've really messed it up a lot. But plus, again, worldliness, again, different things. The main thing is the God of this world has blinded their eyes, just as they have over here. But there's a blindness in that country, and don't be offended, Christian, but there's a blindness there that permeates, I think, even to physical matters. There's a time when the country as a whole rejected Christ. The Muslims moved in 500 years ago. Any Christianity they had, they were forced to convert to Muslim. During 1967, during communism, all religion was said. They said no religion. 1967 to 1991, when they became free, their religion was illegal. That happened, and because of that, I think there's a blindness in the people's hearts, and physically, just the way they drive is demonic. I mean, really, I want to walk everywhere. I want to ride my bike, and that's dangerous. But driving you got to pray. Before, I remember one time I thought, I'm going to drive in the Spirit today, Lord. I'm going to drive. I didn't get 1 minute, and I was, oh, no, you know. But you got to deal with the culture, as in any country. So if you had any more questions, let me know after service. I'll be glad to answer anything I can about the work. It's going, again, a good core group of people. We're studying the Bible. We're singing hymns. Sunday mornings, preaching through the book of John. 1 year, I've got to John chapter 8, So I don't know if that's fast or that's about on, but it's been good, that study. And then on Wednesday nights, we're studying through the Old Testament because they're intertwined. If you don't know anything about Abraham or Moses, and it's mentioned many times in the New Testament, so you got to kind of get both of them going in there. So that's the direction we're going. We got, again, when we get back, we have some good ideas, good plans. We believe the Lord's directed us. We hope to implement them. We hope to reach more people in those countries. Please don't forget to pray for us as we try to reach the people in Albania. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. And this message tonight is a little different, I guess. It's something God showed me. And so it may not be a, you need to do this, you need to do that, or anything like that. But it's something God has showed me, and I hope it helps you as we try to reach other people. And that's the whole goal of this church, amen, is reaching other people for Christ. As I contemplated how to reach people and how to talk to people in Albania, you know, you always go through that, am I going too slow? Am I going too fast? How should I start? Should I lay a foundation, which I believe is the right way to go? Should I sow seed, which you should sow seed by tracts and handing out brochures to people? Should I do this? Should I do that? But trying to reach people, you have to reach them where they are. Many missionaries, you have to approach different people groups in different ways, but it's the same gospel, amen? But you have to approach them where they are. In Africa, they may have a different approach as they would in Australia or Albania, but we have to talk to people and reach them where they are. And I thought, you know, I wonder if I'm doing this right. Yeah, I mean, I've been taught to soul win, to witness, how to do this, how to do that. But I thought, you know what? Now, this is a novel idea. I thought, how did Paul do it? I went to the Bible. Okay, how did Paul do it? And I began searching through the scriptures, and I came to Acts chapter 13, and let's stand if you would. Acts chapter 13, let's read verse 1 through 5, first of all. Now in Albania, normally I have Christian read, and normally my sermons are about 15 minutes. You say, that's all? Well, you got to double that. I preach 15, and he's talking 15 also. So it's kind of about like that. So one thing about using a translator, you can collect your thoughts between sentences. You know, you say something, and he's saying it. You think, yeah, I need to say that next. Anyway, Acts chapter 13 and verse 1. Now there were at the churches that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger and Lucius and of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Let me see what that word was. And fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, and they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from there they sailed unto Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God, where? In the synagogues of the Jews. And they also had John to their minister. Father, we ask you to bless this time together in the word. Speak to our hearts, please, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Now, if we looked on down in verse 14 through 16, we see, but when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went unto the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, beckoning with his hands, men of Israel, and ye that fear the God, give audience. So we see at first Paul talking to the Jews. Where did he go? He went to the synagogues. He went to a people that already knew the law, the prophets, all about Moses, Abraham, and all of those things. And he knew where to speak with them from. He would talk with them and tell them about Jesus Christ, because it's like they were missing a part. They knew the Bible. Many of them memorized much of the Old Testament. So they knew God's word. So Paul could go in there with them and speak to them and refer to the law and the prophets, but also introduce to them Jesus Christ. When I was growing up, I played baseball a lot, as many of you have. I mean, I grew up, I had three older brothers, and I can remember them playing baseball and using, and you know, they'd toss the ball to me and I'd play and they'd teach me all the rules and run. And when I got the Nacori League, they called it, I played baseball. I knew how to play baseball growing up. It's just every American kid, I guess, knew how to play baseball. It's like it's born into you. And but one thing I didn't know about baseball was I discovered one time, I was probably 14 or 15, I was in the upper leagues of baseball, and my brothers and dad had always said, if there's a fly ball in the air and you're on base, don't run. You stay on that base. Now, if they drop it, you have to run. Now, that's before we didn't play infield fly rule. Now, you have to know a little bit more about baseball if you know the infield fly rule. But I knew about baseball, but I was on second base. Somebody hit the ball to center field, and I stood on the bag. If he catches that, I can't run. And so I'm standing there, and the ball goes to center field. He catches it, and I'm still on the bag. And my coach on third base says, come on, run. I said, you can't run. The guy caught the ball. But I ran part way, and the memory came back to me. No, he caught the ball. You can't get off the base. Now, I didn't know tag up. That's where I'm going. Tag up. Everybody know tag up? Yeah. So I went back. He said, come on. So I got part way. I said, and then no. You know how your conscience or something, dad said, no, boy, don't do that. And so I went back to base. And the ball came on the infield, and he's looking at me. And something else happened, and I got to third base, a ground ball, and I got to third base. And that coach, have you ever been grabbed right on this thing right here and squeezed by your parents or by your coach? It hurts. It gets your attention. He said, why didn't you run when I told you to? I said, because it was a fly ball. I didn't know what it was. There was one little piece that I didn't know about baseball, and it was the tag up rule. But he sure put that in my mind when he grabbed that thing right there. I don't even know what it's called, but it hurts when you pinch down on that. And he tried to make me understand that you got to run. You can run. It's legal if he catches it and you're on base. So he tried to put that in my heart, or not my heart, but he tried to put that in my mind that that's a rule in baseball. You see, I knew a lot of things about baseball. I knew most things about baseball, but there were some things I didn't know. Remember when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. Nicodemus was a teacher of the law. He knew everything, but he didn't know. How can a man be born when he is old? And he didn't understand that there's certain pieces that he did not understand. And then I can remember football. Well, I like football today. I like playing it. And this is American football for anybody Albanian. This is real football. And you know, one difference I noticed when I got over here in the airports, it had baseball and football on the screens. Over there, everything's soccer. And so anyway, my dad asked me one time, he said, son, I'm going to sign your brother up for football. You want to play? I said, yeah. I had no idea what football. I liked the helmet, you know, putting all that stuff on. And so I'm beginning to play football. I knew nothing. I'm telling you, I knew nothing about football. But they had a team. They had the number one squad, the number two, and the number three. And I was on the number three, obviously, because I didn't know a thing about it. And they put me as an end. So I was a little taller than the other guys, and that's where you put the tight end. And so I can remember playing, and we were playing this game against these guys, and I'd line up. I'd come down in the three-point stance, and I didn't know what I was doing. But there was a kid right across from me. He knew less than what I did about football. And all I know is when he said hike, I ran over there and knocked that kid down. And we go back. I'd look at the coach. Yeah, you see what I did, poor kid. So we did it again. Hike, boom. I didn't know what else to do. And then, but we had this one play, and it was called the end around. Now, ladies, you probably don't know what an end around is, but that's where the end, quarterback's over there, end around. I run, the quarterback hands me the ball, and I run around the end around. So, okay, I knew I got the ball, but I didn't know what to do from there. So I end around, and he looks at me, okay. So I run over there. He hands me the ball, and And folks, three big guys came and tackled me. And that ball got loose. And I've laid on the ground. You ever got the wind knocked out of you? I'm laying on the ground half crying, half trying to breathe. But I knew nothing about football. Where are you going with this? I don't know. It's a pretty good story, I thought. But no. People, we have to meet people where they are. There's people that know nothing, like I did about football. People that know nothing. It's like the missing piece of a puzzle for some. But like some, they only have the one piece of the puzzle. They don't know anything about what Jesus is or who he is. You know what really drove this point home was I was passing out some tracts in Albania. And we have this tract, and we may have it here. God's simple plan of salvation. Plani I thjesht perëndis për shpëtim. And I was handing those out, and Alci, one of the young men in the church, said, let me see that. And he read it. After he got done reading, he said, that's no good for here. I said, Alci, look, we use this in America. This is a cat's meow here, this thing. Born again, Jesus, you know, everything was right in this tract. He said, people don't understand that. They don't know what born again is. They don't even know who Jesus is, and you're handing this thing out. And I've got to thinking about that. You know, that is true in that sense. I know we're trying to, I'm not knocking, don't get me wrong here. I'm not knocking handing out tracts, but they didn't understand that because they're not there. They don't even have a piece, a lot of them don't even have a piece of the puzzle. But they did say this. Many people had said, there's one God, you know, there's one God. So I wrote a tract that said, that's called One God. And we try to use that as we hand out tracts. So that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. And that's when also I studied about what do we need to do? We need to teach them from the beginning of creation. And I like this. Alci wrote this brochure. I told him we need something like this. So it shows a invitation, the times, our church. It gives... the law. I love this. It gives the law. It talks about the New Testament then, how we're separated from God because we've broken God's law and the punishment, and it gives kind of the Romans road. And I like this part. This is, I was hesitant to say, yeah, that's good. He, on the back, he shows Christ, and he bridges the gulf, you know, between us. And then at the end, he says, and if, you know, this is the end for people that don't accept Christ, and it shows a man burning in hell. And I thought, boy, that's kind of rough showing that. But then I thought, where are you going to run these people to? Where are you going? You know, that's the truth. So I said, hey, let's go for it, Alci. So I appreciated that. You see, in Albania, everybody gets along in their religions because they don't know much about religion. The Muslims, the Catholics, and the Orthodox, that's the three major religions. Now, there are quite a few people saved now in different areas. But, I mean, the Muslims, they celebrate Easter. Yeah, they don't know why. The Orthodox Catholics, they'll celebrate Ramadan and Bayram. Yeah, they don't. Bonnie and I got invited to a feast at somebody's house. Yeah, okay. We didn't know what it was, a Muslim holiday feast. We didn't know that. We went and ate Bayram, and during the feast, she goes, so why are we celebrating this? You know, Liku or somebody come home, your sister. Oh, no, this is Bayram. Oh, well, what is that? I don't know. We just, the time we eat together, it's feast. So they didn't even know what it was. But that was kind of interesting. I wouldn't tell that around by other supporting churches, probably. But let's look in Acts chapter 14. Yeah. Okay, you're off our support list. And look at this, very interesting, in chapter 14 and verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. So they're back in the synagogues. And spake so that a great number of the Jews and also the Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and the part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it, and they fled to Lystra and Derbe, the cities of Lycaonia, and into the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. So we see they went to these other cities, and they preached the gospel there in these cities. But you didn't hear them going into the synagogue at this time. Keep that in mind. And let's look at verse 8. And there sat certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. And the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped up and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lycaonians, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priests of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do you do these things?" Now, these are heathen people that are trying to do this, right? Amen? These are not God-fearing people, because they wanted to do sacrifice. They are worshiping idols. And he goes on and says, "We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities to the living God," look at this, "which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." I love that. "Who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, fulfilling our hearts with food and gladness. And when these sayings scarcely restrained, and with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." So we see Paul preaching in the synagogues, reasoning and talking with the people about Christ, and using the scriptures to point them to Christ. But when it comes to the heathen people, when it comes to those that know not Christ, the idol worshipers, what's he say? God who created all things, God who was in the beginning, created. He had to start at the beginning. He had to identify him as the creator of all things. And so he's trying to reach people in the same way that we need to reach people nowadays. I can remember back in the 90s, this is a long time ago, in the early 90s, talking and preaching in the jails and prisons. And I remember talking to people that said, I've heard of Jesus, but I don't know anything about him. Now, this is America, and this was a long time ago. And I'm afraid that we are reaching that point in America that we have to go back to the beginning. I mean, we got to sow seed, but to see people saved immediately, like we have in the past, I have, that we have to sow the seed. The Holy Spirit does the work. Some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. But we have to tell people about Christ, but we also have to know where they are. Some people don't know anything. They don't know that God created the heavens and the earth. What are they teaching in our schools? Evolution. They're not teaching God created. They're saying everything evolved. Look in their Bible to John chapter 5, verse 46. You can hold your finger there in Acts. But John chapter 5, verse 46. Now this is going to back up a little bit what I'm trying to get across. John chapter 5, verse 46. Now I'm not just pulling one verse out, you know, but John 5, 46 says, "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me." But look in 47. "But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" If we don't believe the writings of Moses, Moses is the one God used to write the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch, and his words talk about in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And if they don't believe those things, that's why I'm saying I've kind of discovered that it's very important that we do believe God who created the heavens and the earth. Paul put emphasis on it. The God who created the heavens and the earth. And if you don't believe those words of Moses that's written in the Old Testament, how are you going to believe in Jesus Christ? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning, all things were created by Him, and by Him do all things consist. So it's through Him that we can be saved. It's through us believing, really, the whole Bible, everything written in it. But we have to know, I believe we, with many people, they don't understand. They don't believe. And we have to take them from point A all the way to Z. Let's look again in Luke chapter 16. Now, I'm trying not to complicate the gospel. I'm trying to show you my experience that many times people are led in a prayer, or many times people are convinced they're saved and they really don't understand the gospel. Again, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 16. None of the people that's been saved in Albania got saved probably before they heard the gospel, 2 months, I would say, on average. 16 verse 31. And it says, He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded. The one rose from the dead. I think it all fits together. You know, we try to look for open doors. We try to allow God to lead us to different places. We had one place, a city we hope to go back to. The city of the name is Cooch. And it's way up in the, it's a long ways from Vellore. It took 3.5 hours to go 45 miles. And I felt like I was a cowboy riding a bucking bronco the whole way. That's how bad the roads were. That's why it was just unbelievable. But that was an open door, and we got to preach the gospel. We were the first missionaries in this little village, and we got to preach the gospel. That was a blessing. We hope to go back. But Bonnie had an opportunity to teach lessons in a girls' home in Vellore. Now, this home is a place for women that have been abused, girls and women that have been trafficked. And I've heard some of the stories. They'll rip your hearts out. One girl I know was just stolen, just taken from her home city. She was just walking to the store, grabbed, beaten, and for the next several years, just a prisoner, a slave to those that had her. And many other stories just like that. But then they found them, they've rescued them, and they had them in that home. And the home is secret, everything about it is secret, but Bonnie had an opportunity to go there. And first was on the premise that she would teach these girls English to give them opportunities for the future. Well, as time progressed, she was able to teach them the Bible and start talking to them. And she told me, I started them off in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And you know, after, I don't know how long, she could probably tell you, maybe a month or two months. The one girl, I can't remember her name. What was her name? Say it. The girl that got saved. You in the back. Oh, my wife. No. Sonila. So Sonila, oh, we probably shouldn't say that on the internet maybe. So anyway, this girl says, the internet, the live stream. But anyway, she had begun hearing the gospel, and the Holy Spirit was working in her heart. And one day she said, Lord, help Bonnie come. Help Bonnie come today. Help Bonnie to come today. And so Bonnie went that day, and she said, I've been praying all day that you would be here. She said, tell me one more time the gospel story. Tell me one more time what you've been telling us about. And she did, and Bonnie was able to lead her to the Lord. What a blessing that was. And another girl was right there with her. Bonnie, like us, she doesn't pressure. She said that when the Lord speaks to her heart, and then she wants to get saved. But what a blessing it is. From the beginning, sometimes we have to teach people. From the beginning, in the beginning. Let's look again one more time. Let's look in Acts chapter 17. I'll close with this scripture. Acts chapter 17. And verse 16. Acts 17, verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Now, this is a very familiar story. You know where I'm going with this, but let's see what he says to these people. Therefore, disputed he in the synagogue. First of all, he disputed in the synagogue with the Jews in Athens and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. And certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him, and some said, "What will this babbler say?" Others, some, "He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears, and we would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to hear, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For I passed by and beheld your devotion. I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God." Now, he's not talking here with religious people. He's not talking in the synagogue at this time. "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, I declare him, and declare I unto you." Now look what he says. I love this. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and of earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hand, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain of you also, your own poets, have said, for we are also his offspring." So I love that, what he said. To address these people that are very superstitious, that worship all kinds of gods, religion, he first addressed God as the God who created the heavens and the earth. So it's very, Paul, I think, emphasized that when he's preaching to these, the heathen, the idol worshipers, it was very important to lay the foundation. And he did by saying God created the heavens and the earth. And that's the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So it's very important for us to perceive really where people are. If they've been taught a lot. I mean, I was going to church 9 months before I was born. And so I had grown up in church. And by the time 12 years old, I knew what the Bible was about. I believed it. I knew God created the heavens and the earth. But I realized my need for a Savior. And I was saved. They didn't have to tell me in the beginning God, because I already knew that. So we have to perceive, I think, as we go door to door, as we meet people at work, where they are. They can't just say a prayer and be saved. They have to understand the gospel, believe that God is everything to us. So I know I'm preaching to the choir in this, because I'm so glad this church is a church that believes that we don't believe in numbers and getting conversions any way we can, but we tell people about Christ. So my encouragement to you tonight is keep sowing seed. Keep sowing seed. Every time I try to go every day. I don't do it every day, but I try to go every day. And I tell you, Satan fights that. Amen. He fights me. You say, "You're a missionary." I'm telling you, he fights me every day that I want to go out. And I hand these out. I try to make conversation with the people. Amen. But it's sowing seed. This has the gospel in it. Our tracts have the gospel in it. Let's be sure we sow seed and we perceive where they are. Maybe we can tell them more about Christ. Maybe the Holy Spirit will work on their heart and we'll see more people saved. Let's all stand to our feet and heads bowed and eyes closed. Whatever God's spoken to your heart about something tonight, and you need to come to the altar and deal with the things that God maybe has spoken to you. I'll have a word of prayer and we'll start. Father, thank you for this time together. Lord, help us to hold on to your word as the final authority. God, help us to perceive where people are, to lead them to you, and God, help us, give us divinely appointed meetings with people that we might reach more and more people for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Page 275.